again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 40 of a 260-episode series dealing with the happenings of the past 50 years and the people who made things happen. It's in the same format of the fantastically successful Frank Fitzsimmons series, so we merely call it where Fitz left off. And today I'm going to finish the story I started yesterday when a little tiny business that started next to Justice Pharmacy on Main Street gave WHKP its first guaranteed advertising contract with the Florida Art Gallery. Morris Schass had operated the sample store next to Duke Power Company until Duke moved to a new building on Church Street. Morris then moved his store next to the A&P store at the corner of 6th and Main. Back in the 60s, art, or auction galleries, were really big in tourist areas such as Boone, Blowing Rock, and Hendersonville. In the heyday of auctions, we had Sam Siegel's Carolina Art Gallery, we had Herman Kimmel's Hendersonville Art Gallery, and in that year, a young entrepreneur by the name of Murray Diamond also wanted to start an art or an auction gallery in Hendersonville. Now, to people familiar with 42nd Street or Times Square, you can remember the sidewalk auction action, stuck into a tiny building or sometimes even in the entrance of a building fronting on 42nd Street. Or folks familiar with huge state fairs can remember this same type of operation along the midways with fabulous pitchmen going for the top dollar bid. Well, this was the basis for the art or the auction galleries in the tourist areas of North Carolina and Florida in the 60s. These auction people were tremendously entrepreneurial. Well, Sam Siegel, in fact, was such a promoter when he learned that after the final bronze monument, which had been struck and would feature, quote, North Carolina's three presidents, and would stand on the State House lawn, when that mole had done its job and the bronze monument struck, the mole was going to be destroyed. Well, Sam got hot on the phone, and he arranged with the sculptor to sell him the plaster of Paris mold from which the final bronze statues, standing today on the old North Carolina State House lawn, and he then arranged to have this plaster of Paris mold transported to Hendersonville and reassembled in the lobby of City Hall. That monstrous statue of the three North Carolina presidents, which overwhelmingly stands today in City Hall, was the mold from which the bronze statue in Raleigh was made. So these art gallery boys, these auctioneers, they were no pikers. They were real entrepreneurs. And when Murray Diamond decided he wanted to join this game in Hendersonville, the only property available on Main Street was between Justice Pharmacy and the Duke Power Building, and it belonged to Morris Schass. Now, it's commonplace in commercial real retail leases to deal with commission on override sales. Say your standard lease is in effect if you do $250,000 in sales. Now, if you do $260,000, you pay an extra percentage of that $10,000 over the specified lease contract. Well, Morris had this clause inserted in his lease with Murray Diamond. Plus, Morris Schass, having seen what radio advertising could do for his business, specified in his lease to Murray Diamond he'd have to spend at least $1,000 each year in radio advertising with WHKP. I'm not sure the courts would recognize that as being legal today, but Murray agreed to honor it. Now, when Murray Diamond called me, I was totally unaware of the fact that Mr. Schass had directed him to buy $1,000 worth of advertising. I just made the call hoping to sell the guy something. I inherited a penchant for giving people nicknames for my mom, the insurance salesman who collected the nickel and dime weekly premiums she called Old Baggy Britches. The light meter reader was Old High Pockets, and the water meter reader she called Crip. So I nicknamed Murray Diamond the Diamond Back Rattler. Well, Murray liked that new moniker, and we hit it off real good. After we had haggled and haggled over the number of spots, the schedule, and the copy, me not knowing he had to spend $1,000, he signed the contract. Shortly thereafter, Mr. Schass asked to see a copy of the contract I'd worked out with Mr. Diamond. Well, I was puzzled, but I handed the contract to him. He read and studied and thought and read again. "Now, you're sure he's spending $1,000 with you?" Proudly, I answered, "Yes, sir, he's a substantial advertiser." And it was then that Morris Schass revealed to me that it was not my salesmanship which had led Murray Diamond to sign that contract. It was simply Murray had to fulfill the lease and had bought a contract for $1,000 in advertising. I've wondered many times, has there ever been a situation in the annals of broadcasting where a lessor was so sold on radio he required his lessee to spend a specific amount of money in advertising? What memories of this seventh child of a seventh child who was lucky enough to have been born here. The good sense never to leave, and with a job he's enjoyed doing all of his life. Source some card as we approach the next 50 years.